Good morning, Cancel Electronics.
Good morning. Is art available?
How please?
Thank you.
Lou, we're here.
Hey, Art. This is Sam with the Bank of Cardiff. How you been?
Good.
Hey, looking to.
I was supposed to get your information, and I didn't yet.
Yeah, that's right. I was making sure you got that email. I sent you one last one. Right after we hung up there. Did you get that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good. Yeah, the first application we'd sent you is a bit of a longer one. I sent you a kind of shorter one for the equipment. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, actually, I landed a new quote the other day.
Really?
Customer wants 5 million parts a year.
5 million? That's a big gig. Where that wasn't the guy.
We might need 2 machines for that, so I'm actually requesting quotes for 2 machines right now from China.
Okay, perfect. That sounds good. Is it the guy from Albuquerque, or was it no?
No, this is a local guy from here in Tennessee.
Okay. Interesting.
It's a silicone O-ring.
Okay. That's interesting. Did he? Have you ever worked with him before, or he just kind of bumped into you?
Yeah, we worked with him right when I came on board here. We were working with him on a project, but the project never came through.
Oh, okay. So kind of a delayed start here to the...
Yeah, but this is a different part. This is a new one. Looks like they just developed.
Nice.
And because we worked with them before, they want us to make the part. However, part silicone, and we've never made silicone before, but I've done a bunch of research on it.
Okay. What does it look like to you? Simple enough?
Yeah, it don't look like anything. It's kind of similar to thermoset, and we do have a thermoset machine here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thermoset machine set up completely different than any other molding machine, so we're a little bit familiar with the process.
Okay. Okay, interesting. So, well, at least this one knows you a little bit better and doesn't judge you by the number of machines on the floor.
Yeah, this machine builds explosive devices, detonation devices.
Ooh, sounds dangerous.
Actually, my brother went to visit them, and they actually blew up a car for him.
No kidding. That was their demonstration?
Yeah, I guess they were testing... But they right now they're using some kind of cardboard cartridge, cardboard tube that the explosives are in, and they wanted to switch over to plastic, and we were working with them on the plastic, but that kind of died.
Right.
I did talk to the girl, she said they're still working on it.
Okay.
But this is a silicone O-ring, it looks like a cord that's coming out.
Okay. It
goes through the O-ring.
That's interesting. Is it like a government contractor, or do they do it like for private?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's for road projects and stuff. When you get those road machines that bore the holes down in the rock, and then they drop these things in and light them up.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. That's actually funny how they demonstrate by just blowing up a car, though.
Yeah. That would have been interesting to see that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So would you need some special training, or do you need to hire anybody else to do that, or is that just a... Or a simple enough machine to operate.
If we get the job, it'll probably be, probably need at least 1 or 2 more people. It'd be 2 machines. It'd be some molds.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, when you're dealing with something dangerous like explosives, you don't want someone,
really dealing with all that. We're just dealing with making one single part.
That's right, just making the O-rings. They put it together. Okay. That sounds pretty cool. So those were you're still thinking about those 2 pieces from China, those, the one that you said you were going to grab, there's going to be 2 of them now?
Yeah.
Okay. Not bad.
If we get the job, there'll be 2 of them.
Okay. Nice. And you never heard back from those guys that came and, poked around the machines and...
Nope. I left an email and I called them a couple times. I never heard back.
Yeah, whatever. Probably not worth chasing after anyway.
Yeah.
It's pretty unfortunate, though. Well... at least these guys are a little bit more familiar. You said you had worked with them before. They just kind of, explored some of the projects. You guys never did any real work or never got started?
Yeah, we did some work for them.
Okay.
But it never turned in anything.
Right. And then now they're coming back with a real project, and the deal's all set to go.
Hopefully it's a real project.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully they're not wasting my time anymore.
I really hope not. I assume they did that last time, kind of a little runaround. Yeah. Well, is it pretty much locked in at this point? Are they seem committed, genuine?
So far, yeah. I'm trying to get some pricing together.
Okay.
To get people, and I guess right now they're having a Chinese, some kind of holiday over in China. And
sure.
I got to get new pricing on the equipment, and I'm getting pricing on the to bring it over from China to here. I'm trying to get some figure out pricing for that.
Right, because there's going to be shipping involved too.
Yep, shipping, and then you got to hire a rigger to get, because once they truck it here, you got to have a rigger to take it off the truck and move it into the building, and then you got to get it all hooked up and all that.
Yeah, that's a fact, and I mean,
you don't want to forget about all those costs.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. Do you have like another company that you'd have to contract to kind of move the machinery for you, or okay. You got to go to
With a rigger, you have to get somebody with a crane to come in and crane it off the truck.
Oh boy, how do they get it through the building? Is it just...
They have these little devices called skates.
Okay. You kind of roll it.
You slip them on their machine and it kind of rolls.
Okay, nice. No stairs or anything.
But you got to be careful because when we actually moved down here from Pennsylvania, they had one of our machines on skates and it kind of rolled off the skates and rolled over inside.
Oh, God. You don't want an accident happening with those.
Yeah, it busted up all kinds of stuff on the machine.
Oh, no. Did you guys have to replace that? Any warranty or anything? Or?
Well, their insurance covered all the damage.
There you go. I guess that's what they've got covered. So, same company? You have, like, a go-to person for that?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Sounds like a pretty good deal there. Hey, last time we spoke,
I talked to him yesterday on the phone. I asked him to update give me an update on the quote.
Okay.
So this is getting all the numbers together here.
Sure. Yeah, I can hang tight for that. As far as the bank statements and everything else goes, those are usually the hard part. That's where we start crunching the numbers. The quotes we can join, add in at any time. Do you do like online banking? Do you have access to sign into the account, download the PDF? That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, most people just find that takes the longest, I mean 3-4 minutes, just to download a 6 months worth of bank statements. And then that application that I sent you, I don't know if you'd opened it yet, it's like a 30-second, name of the business, type of equipment, what you want it for, and then just sign at the bottom. It's like a pretty straightforward process there. I remember last time we spoke, we talked a little bit about the business, though, just to kind of refresh it. You guys do about 1.7 in gross annual sales. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay. That's pretty good. And then how would you rate your credit score? Because kind of give you a little background. When we give out capital, we base it on your annual sales. That's just a cash loan. So the 1.7 would give you access to a bunch. But when we do equipment financing like this, it's mostly just based on a credit. It's just trustworthiness, I guess.
As far as I know, our credit's excellent.
Okay, great.
We don't really have our money for anything.
Nice. That's great. And do you have like a couple credit card accounts where you pay it off every once in a while just to make it look like you're a good borrower?
Yeah, we have credit card accounts. We pay it off every month.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't even need a credit card, but I just get it to build a credit. It's kind of like a play the game kind of situation. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. So when we run the credit scores here, we do a soft inquiry. It's not like, so it doesn't actually, ding the credit score whatsoever. So we only run it through Experian, not the others. And it's a soft touch inquiry. So it's not like a hard. So what I could do is it'll pull up the report. And if you're just kind of curious, I could email that over to you. It was you could take a peek at it and kind of see what they've got on file for you. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Most people don't really get the chance to ever review their own credit. It kind of seems like just a distant object. No one really understands how it works, but you'd be surprised how much you could learn from those. It's pretty interesting. So, yeah, if you'd like, how soon do you think you're going to be grabbing that equipment, or if they were to reply to that quote, is it coming in, you say, a few days, weeks, months?
Let's say, for instance, if I got the job this month, it'd probably take... We place the order and probably take a good month to 6 weeks for them to put the machine together, and it's going to take a month for it to float across the ocean.
Yeah, that's true. And you said they're coming in from China. Now, are they going to build it after you make the order, or are these sitting in a warehouse ready to go?
They may be in the warehouse. They might take slight modifications because I asked for. We don't have 480 volt three phase here at our building.
That's right.
Most machines are wired and ready to go at 480 volt.
Right.
So
right.
I would have to request that they change the input power to 230 volt three phase because
match the US. Yeah, that's
well,
a
no,
US.
Well, no, US has 480. It's just the electric company doesn't have 480 in this building.
Really? Yeah. Hmm. Okay. And then I guess they would have to make some slight modifications. Have you done that before? Do you know if that's easy for them to do? I know sometimes it's kind of simple where they just have to change out a few wires. Other times they kind of have to gut the machine and change the circuit boards. And
yeah, they kind of have to, the motors, if the main motors in the machine are rated for 480 volts, they have to swap that motor out and put a one rated for 230 volts in.
I see.
So it's going to be more. They may just build one. It might be simpler for them to just build one than to take one already built and start changing over.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned
but
that.
It's up to them, whatever they want to do.
Exactly. Yeah, you mentioned they would put it together. I get it now, I guess, if you're going to be ordering some custom set, it might be smarter to build it. What's the name of the machine? What do they call them?
It's called a power jet.
A power jet? And is there like a
If you pull it up in Google, if you Google power jet injection molding,
okay,
you'll see the website and they sell a bunch of different molding machines.
Ooh, these look intense.
Now there's a couple of them down in Alpharetta, Georgia. A couple of these Chinese made molding machines. I actually did go visit them last year.
Okay.
I want to make sure that they were working fine, and I talked to people that were running the machine in Georgia, and the people actually repaired the machines.
Okay.
And they said they absolutely love them.
Good thinking. Oh, so they had ordered it from the same company you're getting them from?
Yeah. They had three machines, and they said they love them so much. They said they had two more in order.
Nice. Wow. Okay.
But I didn't want to go and get a machine and find out it's a piece of junk. I want to make sure that it's going to work and work well.
Yeah, that's some good thinking. So you just kind of called them in and just asked them?
Yeah, and they gave me the guy's address and gave me his contact, and I took a day off, went down there and visited.
Nice.
Seen the machines in action.
Sure, I mean, there's no better way to find out like than to go to someone who's been using it for a little while now. And if they're ordering more, then you know they're happy with it, so that must be a good deal. Do you know
which the machines are cheap enough. I mean, after 10, 15 years, if they start giving problems, it's hauling to the dump.
Yeah, that's right. As opposed to like dumping a lot of money into one really expensive machine and trying to fix it up and maintain it.
You can go get a German-made Battenfeld. That'll be $120,000 to $130,000.
Right, but that's a heavy investment. Now you're committed. So anything goes wrong, you're going to be pouring more money into it, trying to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely good thinking there too. Have you ever used that kind of machine before or something similar?
I got eight machines sitting here in your building right now.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking last time about how those guys came in, kind of saw some older machines and everything. So if you put two of these on the floor and just kind of fill up the space, maybe like hide one of the other, it's half of it was just, you know, a facade, just people.
And the thing is, you bring people out to look at the machines. They don't know whether this machine makes silicon or if this machine runs ABS or this machine runs polycarbonate. They have no idea.
Of course. It's just,
machine there and it looks new and it's like, hey, we're...
Right.
And you get the job, you run them on your old machines.
Right, they just see a big floor with a bunch of equipment. They're like, that looks good to me. Or vice versa. We had
a picture of what our machines look like.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool, to be honest. But I'm really interested. I kind of want to see the insides of that. I kind of wish I was closer. I'd go visit in person. But yeah, you know, it works vice versa, too. I mean, there was the people who come in and see the machines and say, oh, that's impressive. And then there was that guy who came in and looked around and... You probably missed out on a pretty good opportunity. You could have done some work for him, but he was like, oh, no, I see an older machine, so I'm just going to call it quits. Yeah, well, I guess got to play the game there for them, too. Okay, so I'm on their website here. It's this big green-looking machines. Is that the one you're looking at?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the model?
Actually, let me pull the website up with you here.
Sure. Yeah, they got the PET and BJ.
Yeah, PET is a type of plastic. That's actually what your soda bottles are made of.
Okay. Nice. And then as far as the JEK, it looks like got a good variety of stuff here, too.
Yeah, they make a bunch of different machines doing different types of plastic.
Sure.
So if you were to buy... When they make soda bottles, they're actually use preforms to make those.
Okay. So you said it's 30 to 40,000 from China. If you were to get that from the U.S., would that be comparable or anything close, or would it be?
I think that most of the machines are made over in Europe, Germany and such, Austria.
Oh boy. Right, and those will get expensive.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they. I think Newberry was made in the United States, but they're out of business.
Well, yeah, we've been losing a lot in manufacturing here recently. Not good.
Okay, I'm on PowerJet's website now. I'm going to click product.
Exactly. And I'm under injection machines.
Okay, under injection, go down further where it says dedicated series.
That's right.
And there's one with the SI, silicone injection molding machine.
I see it. Okay.
Click on that one.
So they got two of them. There's like a blue one and a green.
And you want to click the green one on the left there.
I got you. Oh, that thing is going to look nice sitting on the floor. Optimized with...
I showed you a picture that shows you the silicone baby nipples there.
Yeah, I could see that. And that machine on the right.
But if you get down there, under the parameters, the machine on the far right is a 200-ton machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that can squeeze, that shoot the most plastic and stuff. That's the one that can shoot the most silicone, so that'd be the one I want to get.
Okay.
Looking to get two of those.
The 200 V6?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. And when you
now, there's a video link there. I click it and it doesn't go to anything, so that's not a good link. But you can go to YouTube. You can go to YouTube and type in PowerJet injection molding and under YouTube, and you can see the machine's actually in being used.
Oh sure, yeah. Youku is like the Chinese version of YouTube. It's not as reliable. That's all. Yeah, I think I will. I'm gonna probably check out one of their videos. So, usually when you grab this kind of equipment, I'm not sure if you do it often, do you usually pay for cash, or do you, you know, try to finance it? Which one's kind of easier?
Well, since I've been here, we really haven't bought any large machines. I've been here for 3 years.
Okay.
The last machine we bought, I think, was a factory refurbished machine. It was a semi-automatic, it's for the electronics part of the business. It was a semi-automatic placement machine.
Right, that's right.
I think it was around 40,000.
Okay, and you guys.
My brother was here then. I'm not sure if he just paid cash or if he financed. He might have just paid cash for it.
Okay, sure. And then you kind of joined the company 3 years ago. And is he still working with you, or did he?
Well, I've been working with this company ever since I was a teenager.
Since a teenager.
This is my parents' company.
Oh, I see. You guys just kind of took over.
This company actually started in the basement of our house.
Wow. One of those stories.
And it grew to a two-car garage and a bigger building, another bigger building, and it just got bigger.
Well, yeah, now you're running a $1.7 million company here. It's definitely grown. How about the competition in the area? Are there a lot of people that do anything similar to you guys, or not so much?
This is going to sound really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Really don't have competitors with what we do.
That must be nice.
We're kind of really unique in the industry. I mean, we're an electronics company, but we're also a plastics company. And usually there's one company doesn't do both of those. You're either electronics or you're plastics. You're not both, but we're both.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that, and I found that really interesting the first time I spoke, because I've worked with those companies.
We really don't have competitors. No, we have competitors across a couple parts here and a couple parts there, but you can't point to any one company in the U.S. and say, hey, that's our competitor, because not really.
Well, right, because you guys are so well diversified at this point that it's kind of hard for someone to compete on you on all fronts. So even if they go on your electronics or somebody does a little injection molding, you're still, you know, you're working under that umbrella with all the other stuff. Yeah, those are considered, from the business perspective, that's considered like the safest it gets. Even when you buy stocks, they tell you diversify it. When you get into an industry, they say as soon as you're stable, start branching out. So that's kind of a pretty smart move there when you guys moved into like electronics, did the injection, all that. Just definitely safer that way.
Back in 1989, we actually bought a division from Honeywell.
From Honeywell?
Yeah, that was our timer company. We actually bought it from Honeywell from Pennsylvania.
Okay. And you guys just took it over from there?
Yeah, I think we paid like $300,000-$400,000 for that division we purchased. And that's our timer division. We've been banging timers out ever since then.
Nice. And you guys still have that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're actually developing some new ones right now.
That's cool. Yeah, you're mentioning. Right. You mentioned the timers when we were talking about last time, and then some of the work you guys have done with GE. Like a $40 billion contract.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, it's interesting. I have had a couple clients that do the electronics thing, and then I have like a whole separate company and separate parts that do the injection thing. But I remember bumping across Kenson Electronics here, and I was just interested to see how the two met together. It was pretty...
Yeah, we actually bought Motor Plastics out of Florida back in 2003. And we bought another molding company out of Pennsylvania. It's called Mastercraft Plastics. I don't remember what year that was purchased, but... Yeah, we bought two different molding companies. We bought Contract Electronics Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
We bought the division from Honeywell.
Yeah.
So put a couple different companies together here under one roof.
Yeah, that's impressive. So you guys are just making acquisitions and kind of consolidating them, and it's kind of how it seems to be growing. Yeah, definitely. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm trying to look at the video of this thing at work. It looks kind of cool. Maybe you should invite that guy back over from wherever he was.
That's okay. He can go wherever he is. This job I'm looking at is far more than his anyway.
True. Well, he's going to end up somewhere with less competence, like somewhere which is going to give him like an inferior product, and all because he didn't like the aesthetic look of a certain machine in a shop that, well, he doesn't really understand or know anything about. So you told me that machine wasn't even going to be used for his production.
Exactly,
I found that kind of funny.
He pointed out the oldest machine. He's like, "Is this obsolete?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Don't worry about it. I haven't used it.
we only use that machine for our own parts in house. I mean, we do injection molding. We do contract injection molding, but we also inject and mold our own parts.
Right.
For our timers.
Sure.
And that machine's only used for our stuff.
Right, for like in-house stuff. But I mean, I don't know. You shouldn't really have to explain yourself to some... That seems like you should have been a little bit more attuned to the industry he's working with.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But we've done contract injection molding with other people, and they're extremely happy. In fact, this one guy just did 1,000 parts for him. He's selling his parts on Amazon right now.
Well, see, that's a smart person would have gone and found your previous clients, seen some of your past work, seen some of your... That's how you judge a company and see where it's going or whether they're successful or not. Not, you know, walk into the floor, find an old machine and be like, I'll pass. Oh, well, that's all right. No sweat. So these new guys you said are a little bit more local? They're nearby?
Yeah.
Okay. And how big is the project they're looking to take on here?
Well, that is five million parts. It's going to be a big project.
Wow. 5 million parts a year?
Yeah. Every year.
Every year. And do they usually do like a time contract for that? It's like, do you lock in 3, 4, 5 years, or it just depends how his business is going? He might, you know, adjust accordingly, increase it if he sells more.
Yeah, it's going to adjust accordingly.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, sounds like a pretty good deal there. Might add some more sales here. As far as that 1.7 you guys did last year, you tracking to do about the same here, or a little bit higher?
It's going to be a little bit lower this year because the sales have been down this year because of the election.
Yeah, that's everybody is on hold. You have no idea how many calls I get every day from people saying like, "Oh, we need to put a hold on the applications here." People who are about to acquire, million-dollar companies are like, "We just need to wait and see what happens in this election." It's like the whole country's holding their breath.
People aren't spending money right now. After the election, they're going to open the floodgates and start ordering all kinds of stuff.
That's right. And right now it's just in a limbo, like everything's just dead stopped. We're just
Because
kind
I
of
contacted our biggest customer, and they said we're expecting a big fourth quarter, and fourth quarter starts October.
That's right. We just started that fourth quarter here. We've got these deals flooding through the gates, but then at the same time it's like most of our big returning clients, those guys are supposed to be coming in here, taking on huge projects, expansion. They're like, "Oh, we'll call you November 5th." It's like, okay.
Well,
Screwed you.
General Electric's our second biggest customer. It's not our
Yeah.
biggest.
Oh, General Electric is the second biggest? Who's the first?
Well, they're about as big as GE, but
Little
GE's
more.
number two.
G's more, what was that?
I said they're about as big as GE, but GE's number two.
Okay. Yeah, I guess G is just a big name, so it's like, they carry a lot of weight with that too. It's like if you're working with GE, they're going to be all over the country. The demand's going to be constant. It's like a stable source there.
We actually used to build General Electric products here in-house from 1982 to 2009. We actually built GE's actual products here.
Wow, I did
Some of the
not know
product
that.
lines.
Really? And what do you think happened? Well, I guess they went overseas, huh? Where did
No,
they?
it was they closed a plant up in I think it was Connecticut,
Okay.
and they moved everything from that plant into our building here.
Oh wow.
And
And
we
how
had to
long
start
does
from. They sent me all their drawings. We just started building all their products. We build them, send the products to GE, and then after a while, they said just go ahead and ship direct to our customers. So they send us an order, and we ship it direct.
That must have been a good deal too. Just build it and turn around and sell it for them. Huh.
Yeah.
I
But
wonder what.
we built the CR245s, 250s, the CR103s, which are the thumbwheel switches.
Yeah. Right. And right now
But
you're still.
we knew that when that was coming on board, it was going to slowly die because it was an older product line.
That's right. That's true too.
And it eventually died, so but I mean, you made money on it till that happened.
Yeah, of course. I mean, take the situation, just make the best of it. And right now you still make some electronic timers for them, you said. A little bit of sensors. Okay. That's nice, that's nice. Alrighty, so I guess, it's funny they don't have the prices on the website here. Do they, is that like
They
an
don't.
individual
The
quote?
guys won't give me a quote.
Right, that's what he's waiting for there.
But the SI120, or not the 120, the SI200 V6. That's the one we're looking at.
Okay. Yeah, it's a big machine. I guess it'll work both ways. I mean, I told you some of my other guys in the injection industry, like they've bought machines as decoration. Like I'd be sitting on the phone with them trying to go through the list of machines they have. They're like, "I'm using this one for this project, this one for a project app coming up, and this one's just for display purposes." They're gonna buy, like a $40,000 machine just to make it look nice on the floor.
Yeah,
It's kind of
well,
funny how that.
we run different plastics here. I mean, we do polycarbonate, ABS, we do Norel, we run nylon. I mean, we run all different types of plastic.
Wow.
So we're not married to just one type. Some
Yeah.
companies are just married to one type. That's all they do.
No, they do, yeah. The other two clients that I was working with that had the similar deal, they had just one. It was just a specific kind of thing that they did, and they, just focused on it. They weren't nearly as diversified. They definitely didn't do anything electronics, but even within the injection molding, it was just a very specific kind. Like, there was no silicone, there was none of that. It was just plastics,
Yeah.
molds, right?
Yeah, now silicone's a little specialized, but with what we currently do, it's
Sure, it's a great addition. Yeah, great addition to the big picture. Yeah, exactly.
exactly.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal at all. And you should definitely take a picture of that the inside of that floor there. Send it with those bank statements just for me to kind of take a peek at. It sounds kind of interesting. I've never. What was the closest I've been to Tennessee? I was in Fort Benning for some of the Army stuff there in Georgia. was about as close as I got. I was out in kind of in Vermont. Yeah, but I had a couple of really good buddies in the army there from Tennessee. They kept inviting me out there. One of these days. It's on the bucket list.
There you go.
Yeah. Does the moonshine as good as they say?
Yeah, I think I got some in the fridge.
You know, for the end of the day or the weekend.
It, the apple pie or whatever they call it.
Yeah. Those guys used to sneak them over. Like, we were at like a military base. I was doing some stuff with the army, and they used to sneak them on, and we used to sit in our rooms in barracks. They'd pull it out. That stuff's no joke, though. You know, like, it's tempted to be cynical to it. Like, oh, whatever, it's just like typical vodka, but a couple of shots of that stuff. Yeah, it was good times. All right. Let me try to put together some of these notes here. If we're looking at those two, I think those seem like really solid equipment with a good credit score and the time in business in your industry. You're definitely looking at our A-tier programs without a doubt. I'm thinking probably some of the top of there. What we'll do is probably, once we put everything together and get the numbers crunching, we're probably going to put out a couple different options for you. It depends on how the cash flow is looking. If you wanted to do a shorter term, it would lower the interest rate and pretty low, and that way you would get it over with quickly. But if you'd rather not put a strain on the finances to kind of keep the business moving, especially with a big project coming up like this, we could stretch it out for you. What would you think? What would be your preference? The thing is, running the business is one thing. It's like you guys are really good at what you do here. Running the finance is a whole different job, so it's kind of they focus on what you.
I kind of need to know the numbers. I need to,
Of course.
like I said, I need to get the guy's quote back.
Of course.
I gotta get the shipping quote here. The guy, I sent him the weight of the machine, which I got off the sheet there that you're
Okay.
looking at.
That's right.
He wanted actual machine dimensions, so I gotta send him that.
Okay.
I gotta get the numbers rolled together, so kind of how much money we're looking at.
Sure, no worries. And then as far as cash flow goes and everything, you guys don't really, I doubt you do, but you ever bump into negative balances on the statement, if you guys ever dipped in, or the cash flow seems to be going pretty well?
No, cash flow is always fine.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was thinking most likely for something like this, we'll try to kind of amortize it over some space so you barely even notice it. Like, basically like getting the machine for free almost, but it'll be stretched out over maybe like two. We do like 2 to 5 year terms, so we can kind of stretch it out as far as we'd like. But it kind of depends. Some people prefer it to be like stretched over a long period of time with small payments. That way, it's negligible. It's as if like they barely even notice it in the account, the monthly payments. Other people prefer to just pay it off all at once, so they don't have to worry about it. But it just, yeah, it depends on the situations. But yeah, we could wait for that quote and get everything together there. As far as what we need, we try to keep it as simple as possible. It's just you remember that one page app, the 6 months of bank statements and the first 2 pages of your tax return. You guys did file 2015 taxes, is that right? Okay. Yeah, just the first 2 pages to make sure it was all legitimate. And then, yeah, once we have that together, we'll start kind of crunching the numbers. Whenever you do get those quotes, all you just do is just like, email them to me, and then we just add that in there, and then we would spit out a couple different options for you guys, and we just kind of work back and forth and see which program would be the best fit for you in terms of, the time, shorter term, longer term, rates like that, and see which one's, best fit for the business. And then hopefully that machine will start making you some money there. You guys will be taking that big project there, 5 million parts a year. It's going to ramp up some production. So yeah, that sounds good. Do you think you can get the preliminary paperwork stuff to me here soon, or do you want to wait for the quote to come in? The thing is, the quote we can add on really quickly. It takes like a minute or two. Like, I can just put the quote in and crunch the numbers. The just process the bank statements and everything else just takes a couple hours. So
Okay, well, let me see what I can do today. I'll try to put in my list of things to do here.
sure, sounds good. So yeah, that sounds good. If there's a way I could make it easier for you, I mean, if it's easier to download by PDF, then you could email it. We do take faxes. I've had some guy out in Florida once who,
I don't do fax. That's like a dying activity.
Thank you. Well, I had a guy out there who didn't know how to fax or email. He spread the papers out on his floor and took a picture of it, and I had to sit I had to sit there on Photoshop page by page trying to. It
was ridiculous. The guy still in business?
I'm not even sure. You know, he's doing some oil drilling.
Don't know how to fax or email. I mean, faxes are like the 1980s.
That's what I said. He was like, "Oh, the fax machine's not working. I tried my friends, and it didn't work either. So I just sent you a picture. It was a JPEG of like 30 pages spread out on the floor." Yeah. Well, that's all right. did what I had to do there, but yeah, every once in a while. So yeah, hopefully it'd be easier than that. Faxes are kind of outdated, like you said. So if you just email those to me, I could walk that over to the underwriting. We did just start the fourth quarter here, and that is like one of our busiest seasons, people trying to save on Yeah, another perk there. I don't know if you've ever bumped into it. Have you guys ever used Section 179? Are you familiar with that? It's some tax code stuff. Kind of specific.
I don't know what it is.
Fair enough. So just a quick background on it. Basically, when you buy a new piece of equipment, if you guys are expecting, you know, a big IRS tax here at the end of the year, it's kind of a cute little loophole that businesses would use. Rather than pay it off in taxes, they do it. They upgrade their inventories, they upgrade their equipment, and they end up with tax breaks. But what you can do with Section 179 is, rather than amortize the loss over 5 years, you know, the depreciation of the equipment, that's something a tax accountant would do. You can take all that depreciation at once, so you wouldn't be able to use it, but it usually ends up with a bigger tax saving. So if you're expecting, you know, to pay something like $30,000-$40,000 in taxes this year, and you spend that much in equipment, for example, then you'd end up with like a zero balance. So it's a pretty neat trick there. I will keep that in mind because it's the fourth quarter, and we do have the underwriters who are pretty good at that kind of stuff. You do have, I assume, a tax accountant or someone that handles that kind of thing?
Yeah, we have an accountant.
Okay. Yeah, if you just like mention to them something, Section 179, I might send it in the email. I'm pretty sure they'll be familiar with it. But when you're making equipment purchases like this, it's a pretty good loophole there. It definitely saves people a lot of money at the end of the year. What you'll notice is the same amount of money you would have paid to the IRS in tax ended up going to upgrade your equipment or buy these molds. So it's, you know, it's a better, you'd rather give it away or upgrade the business. So yeah, we'll try to set it up for that kind of deal here. And yeah, if you could get those documents in by the end of the day, I can start the paperwork here by the end of the day. And then whenever you get the quote in, all you do is just shoot that over, and that's a few-minute process there. And then, okay. Yeah, I guess we could go from there.
All right.
All right, Art. It was good talking to you. I'll watch out for that. If not, then I'll just kind of hang tight here a little bit, maybe circle back later in the week, see how things are going.
All right. That'll work.
All right, Art. Best of luck. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.